Dear members of the German Parliament, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to welcome you to the opening of the third opening of the Anthropocene project, which the House of World Cultures will pursue in different ways in the next 2 years. As you will learn in a minute, the project will first and foremost focus on a new order of currently segmented forms of knowledge and explore new formats of knowledge production in the interplay of arts and sciences. And arts does not refer to the representation, but to artistic actions and endeavors. I'm glad that the House of World Cultures, a venue to discuss global questions, managed to get important institutions and individuals on board, and I sincerely want to thank our collaborators for their support. Let me express my gratitude to my colleagues on the board, Christian Schwegel and Reinhold Leinfelder, who initiated the project together with me and who are renowned experts for anthropocenic studies, and to the Max Planck Society, represented by Jürgen Wren and Lauren Dyson, the Rachel Carson Center and the German Museum, represented by Helmut Trischler, and the Institute for Advanced Sustainable Studies, represented by Mark Lawrence. I should also mention that this project is being sponsored by the German Parliament. Let me therefore thank State Minister Neumann and Rüdiger Kruse, MP, who have helped us get access to these special funds. Some of you might have seen the film More Than Honey, and you might remember the excursion to China. The farmers complained because the sparrows picked the seed from the soil, Mao Zedong, therefore ordered to have the sparrows shot. This then triggered an insect pest because the birds were no longer there to act as regulating force. In order to cope with the plague, the farmers used pesticides. Gone were the insects, but also the bees, i.e. the pollinators of the plants. The final scene shows columns of Chinese who climbed the trees in order to do what bees normally do and to pollinate the blossoms. Now, this story illustrates in a somewhat drastic way the twin role men and women play. We are all cultural and natural beings. We act and intend, and our undertakings form part of and have significance in a given context. We combat sparrows in order to facilitate the sowing. At the same time, our action triggers effects which are unintended and thus natural. More insects after the killing of the sparrows is such a natural effect. The double aspect of human action has been an integral strand of the history of humanity from day one. In modern times, after the invention of the steam engine, and in particular in the second half of the 20th century, of the great acceleration, human action due to the energy supplied has triggered ever more natural effects. Man created a specific mobility culture, i.e. individual mass transportation, which has meant increased CO2 emissions and a strongly negative impact on the climate. Man developed specific packing and forwarding streams and systems which have filled whole continents made of plastic in the oceans. Chemical products substitute for natural products. They cannot or hardly be recycled and are stored as non-renewable materials in the ground, not to speak of nuclear energy and its impact. Many of the problems this process involves are well known and have become items on our agendas. Against the backdrop of this trend, the Anthropocene thesis offers the following benefits. It offers a meta-narrative which reminds us of the point we have reached in the historical development so far and which tasks we have to tackle. The Anthropocene thesis claims that the human species has created its own nature because of the very fact that human action creates contexts of effects. The geological dimension of the thesis implies that man, by mapping his action in a special layer of sediments, inscribes himself into the geological time. We are intentionally mentioning the human species here because man, seen as a species, is a natural being. As such, the human being neither pursues own goals nor does the human being produce culture. The Anthropocene thesis is exciting because it claims that the human being as a natural being has created nature, which in its temporality and its spatiality affects the Earth as a whole and therefore has an almost universal, we might even say total power. This power may be great enough to extinguish other species to a so far unknown extent. It also transforms the cultural being men used to be. However, we must not understand these cultural narratives as universal. This is not about the confrontation of the human species as an object in the context of natural effects and the socially powerful global subject. We need local and regional answers first, followed by the global answers or the answers produced in a global network. We have asked a number of questions to the city in the last days and weeks, and they show where the cultural narratives to be developed could had to. Is the Anthropocene beautiful, told as an experience? How does the new nature inscribe into our bodies? How do we experience a world with urban centers that do not know darkness anymore? Is the Anthropocene legal? The human species has created the nature that is the Anthropocenic theme. However, concrete action has been and is being undertaken by individual groups, companies and societies. Now, with respect to the question of the Anthropocene and whether it's beautiful, we are experiencing a world whose living beings and objects are increasingly produced chemically or biodynamically. In terms of the concepts, this will be about making clear that the things we create are never objects only, but we face them as worlds in their own right, and they are partial subjects too, which have an impact on us. We are therefore permanently interacting with the world of things. Now, with respect to the question whether the Anthropocene is legal, we have to bear in mind that the key players often are not those who are affected most by the impacts. For a long time, the key players were based in the West, whereas the people concerned dwelt in the rest of the world. Today, the connections are less transparent. We will therefore have to engage individuals, groups, and nations on the local, regional, and global level in a socio-political process of exchange. Is the Anthropocene human? Is the third question we raise. Men and women are natural and cultural beings simultaneously. The two spheres are not strictly divided. Things that belong to the world of objects, whether they have always been there or have been newly made, gain new significance, become part of the culture, lose significance, or renaturalize. There is a permanent cycle. However, the divide of the two sectors, the dualism of nature and culture, has been the driving force of our development since the 17th century. Nature was considered a mere resource which man could exploit. Because of this divide, nature, in its man-made form, formed by economic and cultural processes, polluted air, the plastic continents in the oceans did not happen in the cultural image man had of himself. There used to be a black hole, which has only been investigated in the last decades, and its real importance has risen to man's full awareness only now, thanks to the Anthropocene thesis. The development as such was based on a linear understanding of time. All elements, aspects, processes, which did not serve the pursuit of the cultural goal, i.e. a business-driven consumer society, were relegated to the sphere of nature, with which one did not really cope because it was not deemed to be part of the cultural project. Against this backdrop, we may define the Anthropocene project in terms of a cultural project as follows. A, by reminding us that there is a man-made nature, it becomes part of culture. We will therefore have to understand what that fact that man has made this nature means for us. B, since we realize the context of effects of nature, we have to redefine the relationship of culture and nature. It will be important to not consider the two spheres separately as divided ontological areas, but as the processes of culturalization and naturalization of actions and objects. With respect to objects, this would mean a system based on recycling. A cultural object, e.g. a car, that is no longer used will be naturalized. Its materials will be treated so that it becomes a new cultural object to be used by man, i.e. a fridge. The House of World Cultures is thus interested in transporting the Anthropocene into a world that corresponds to human beings in their finiteness and naturality, i.e. in seeing man as an integral part of cycles. We must be courageous in order to be modest. C, we must reorganize science, and we need the imagination of the arts in order to manage the paradigm shift. As Hannah Arendt says, men are conditioned beings because everything they come in contact with turns immediately into a condition of their existence. The world in which the via activa spends itself consists of things produced by human activities, but the things that owe their existence exclusively to men nevertheless constantly condition their human makers. Perhaps it's not a bad idea to do as the Chinese did in the example I gave in the beginning. Once in a while, climb a tree.